I have one of the suits. Well, I don't have it on my person. Kevin Smith has it at his comic book shop in New Jersey right now. And
You're close.
Maybe I should go swipe it.
We'll see the headlines tomorrow. Break in.
Eventually, I'm assuming that I'll get it back from him. It's never not going to be cool that that was something I got to do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unwrapped podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vogel, and of course, we are here with the amazing Andy Ortiz.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm sleepy. I'm very sleepy. I just had lunch, and I had, like an adult does, I had mac and cheese and chicken nuggets, and I am very full, so I am ready for nap time, and it is a work day, so I can't go take a nap, and I really... It's killing me a little bit. So I'm sluggish. I'm just sort of vibing on my mac and nugs and I'm sleepy. How are you doing?
I'm good. I know. I feel like when you're a child, you don't realize like how good you have it when you have nap time. And then, you know, as an adult, you're like, wow, if only I really, you know, didn't take it for granted.
Dude, not even when you're like a kid, even when you're like in college. I got to college and like the not having a full day of classes thing, people were like, oh my God, you can nap. And I was like, naps are for the week. And I made about a week into college before I was like, I was really, really incorrect on that one. Naps are a godsend. So to any children listening, first of all, what are you doing? You really shouldn't be listening to this podcast. We love that you're here, but maybe we're going to, but also take naps. Just I advocate for naps for everybody because they are truly just the greatest thing. I'm so sleepy.
Well, speaking of just things going on with us, and this week, the new Taylor Swift album just dropped.
It did.
Lots of excitement happening there.
Have you made your way through it yet?
I'm still making my way through it, but I love it. I love Taylor. I love seeing all the Easter eggs, like going back and seeing things like, I think it was her dress at the Grammys is actually also in one of the music videos, just other like promotion she's doing around it, you know, like posting videos that give us a behind the scenes look at, you know, her day to day and, you know, her just cooking dinner with Travis and just at the gym,
like. It's wild that she has just like a day to day because with the amount of albums she put out, I saw it was on TikTok or something. It was like five albums in three. It's a lot of albums in not a lot of years. And I just don't know when she has free time to do things. Like, I respect it, but I hope that she's sleeping. Honestly, I hope that she gets a nap every once in a while because she's just doing the absolute most. I haven't made, and it's a double album. That's what I want to say. I haven't made my way through it yet. Because it's a double album. Like, it's absolutely insane that she was like, oh, surprise, here's a whole other, like, thing. I'm also just, like, woefully behind on music. And when I say woefully behind, I do mean that, like, when I put on my Spotify, I'm listening to playlists that I made, like, 7 years ago. I'm listening to, right now, to my Disney playlist because I'm on my way to Disney very soon. I'm excited, in case you couldn't tell. Sometimes it's a Broadway musical kind of vibe. I've got a Broadway playlist. And then, like, sometimes I'm listening to, like, the Glee soundtrack. And I want to be clear, I'm not listening to that, like, I don't have, like, the soundtracks just, like, in their own playlist. I don't. It was my first concert. True story. Glee in concert was my first concert ever. And then, ironically, Taylor Swift was the last concert I went to. I went to the Eras Tour. So this is all just, we're bringing it all back together. But yeah, I'm really, really behind on new music. It's a little bit depressing.
I feel like lately I've just been getting so much of the music that like I listen to from just watching shows and movies. And like, I'm the kind of person where it's like, I will find one song and then I will listen to that one song until I get sick of it. And then I'll go look for the new song I want to listen to on repeat.
Yes.
And lately, yeah, it's been like on, like in shows and movies where I just have the Shazam out. But even if it's like, sometimes it's a new song, sometimes it's an old song. And our guest today, funnily enough, because as you mentioned, Glee and her new show, I got so many songs that I'm obsessed with right now from that show. And they're oldies, but they are goodies.
I love doing this. I have a whole playlist. I will send it to you. Remind me at some point. But I have a whole playlist that I have made. It is strictly songs that I have discovered because of TV shows or because of movies I've been watching. And sometimes they're like classic songs. And like, I like Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. I didn't discover that in movies, but I associate it with 13 Going on 30, which just turned 20 like this week. So it's in that playlist because all of these songs, I can like very clearly picture a scene that goes with them. So I'm going to send you this playlist because yes, I do the same thing. I love getting new music from shows and movies, and you should probably tell them what show you're talking about. You're being very cryptic. You're being very Taylor Swift right now.
So cryptic with my Easter eggs, with all my hinting. This week's amazing guest is Melissa Benoist. She is the star of the new series, Girls on the Bus, and she also starred in Glee.
She did. She was Marley Rose on Glee, and I 100% bring it up to her, just so we're clear. And also, obviously, she starred as Supergirl on The CW, and she was incredible. And we talked to her about that, too. So I think at this point, we need to stop being cryptic, stop dropping the Easter eggs. Let's just run the interview.
Let's do it.
Melissa, hello and welcome to Unwrapped. We start every interview the same way. We're going to do it with you. Very, very serious question. How are you today? Genuinely, how are you doing today?
Genuinely, the honest answer. There's a lot. I feel like I have multitudes of things happening today. Good and bad. Don't we have that every day?
Yeah,
I'm feeling good and excited, and it's cool because I just saw the eclipse. I'm in New York City. It's a city I love. So like that's cool. But I have major mom guilt today because I'm away from my son. And that is like the harsh reality of being a parent. So I have some sadness there, too.
I feel that. We thank you for being away from him and being with us. Hopefully this will be very fun for you. Probably not as fun as your son. I'll just be honest. I know that about myself. I love Emily. I know that about her. So but hopefully we'll make this a good experience for you. Before we get into the Girls on the Bus, Melissa, I got to do something. It's just who I am as a person. I did it to Becca Tobin when I got to interview her. I just need to tell you that your version of Holding Out for a Hero with Becca Tobin from Glee, it's in my top two versions of that song, and the original is not the other one. So I just want to let you know. Yes, it is in my top two. I'll be honest, you're in second place. The first top version is Shrek 2 because it's just iconic version of that song.
I'm not as person. I just learned so much about you just now, and frankly, I love it. I understand why we would be second place to that. Also, thank you so much. And that was one of my most favorite songs I ever got to do on the show. But I will say that I don't know what Becca told you. It was so hard to film. She was in like a rubber latex onesie that kept ripping and snapping her like a rubber band in like unspeakable places. And then I was like sliding on my belly onto a piano. Like it was absurd.
Which I've always wanted to ask you this. Did you ever like go a little bit too far on that piano? Did you ever kind of overshoot
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, I never fell off. But
we need a blooper reel.
I know this is not how you would start most interviews, but I love that performance. I watch it like on YouTube far more than I should. I firmly believe it manifested Supergirl for you. So I needed to tell you this in case I never speak to you again, which I hope is not the case. I just wanted to make you aware of my love of that performance.
I accept that. I love that. And this was the perfect way to start the interview.
Let's go. And also, listen, here's the thing. I'm good at my job, so I'm going to connect it, right? Because y'all did karaoke on Girls on the Bus and you didn't sing. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit mad about it. What happened there?
There was a conversation, many conversations, actually, and they were like, everyone, the showrunner, Rena Mamoon and Amy Chozick were like, what do you think Sadie would sing? And I think it's my fault because I was like, I don't know if she does. I know, because obviously Glee was Glee, and then we did a karaoke on Supergirl, and that was an event, and it was always so fun, but I don't know if Sadie would get up there. And I could not for the life of me think of Sadie's song, like what her karaoke song would be. It'd be something 70s and weird and obscure.
You have to have the right song. So I think that is a yeah. fair reason at the end of the day.
I feel like one of my go-to questions, and I really, you know, this is how I judge if I'm going to like someone or not, is like what your go-to karaoke song is.
Wait, what is yours?
That's a great question. Yeah, what is yours?
Mine actually changes constantly. Most recently, it was like Spice Girls. Tell me what you want, what you get. That was my singing. And lately, I've been like Country Road.
Oh, that's
really
a good
one. Really gets the crowd going.
Yeah, that's like a good sort of kumbaya type. Yeah,
everyone's like,
everyone's swaying, everyone's all right, so wait, hang on. Now we're down this road. Now we're down the tangent. Melissa, what is your current karaoke song?
It's weird. It's not just a current, it's a constant. And you'd be surprised that every karaoke bar has it, and it's never-ending story.
I knew this about you. I've watched enough interviews. I should have remembered that. It's a banger, though. It is a banger, and I get it.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? You're guaranteed to stop the entire karaoke bar when you sing that song.
Please come to Chicago and karaoke with me. I've never been to karaoke. Honestly, no one's ever asked me, which is probably for the best. I can't sing a lick, but like, I've never gotten to go, and it's really upsetting. So
really?
Yeah.
I will go to karaoke with you anytime I'm in Chicago.
I'm done with this interview now. That's all I needed. So
since you're in New York, I don't know if you've been, you have to check out Duplex. It's not a karaoke bar. It's a gay piano bar, and it is the most amazing thing ever. And you can sign up to sing, or you can request songs and sing along, and it is the most happiest place. It's like when you're younger, you go to Ellen.
It's the one downtown, right? And there are like legends of Alan Cumming and Emma Stone singing there. Is this the one?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think so. It's like when you're younger, you go to Ellen Stardust Diner, and then here you see everyone like on Broadway get drunk with you and sing. It's amazing.
I gotta go.
Gotta do it. This took a crazy turn. This
No, we're not even done. We're really not even done, because my first true and honest girls on the bus question for you, Melissa, if you had to pick three people in your life to be stuck on a bus with for an entire campaign trail, who would they be?
I'm gonna give an answer that doesn't, it's probably not gonna sound like it's the honest truth, but it is the honest truth. And I would pick the three women that I was on the bus with making the show.
So cute.
And I know it's cute and it's so gross, but it's honest and true, because we fell in love making the show and we had so much fun, and we spent hours and hours and hours and hours on a fake bus. Sometimes it was moving, but we had the best time, and I like love them dearly. Otherwise, it would be like my best friends and maybe my dog Drift. But Carla Gugino and Natasha Benham and Christina Elmore, I think, would be my picks.
It's like the new MySpace top eight. It's like, who would you be? Who would be on your campaign bus?
MySpace throwback.
So in the show, obviously, the girls are on the bus. They're always on the move, always on the road. And with summer coming up, so many people have travel plans, are getting ready for traveling. I know that when I'm traveling, my mental health kind of goes awry when I'm not on my routine. So I'm curious how you take care of your mental health when you are traveling, or if you have any tips.
Oh, well, these days it's sort of impossible for me to, because when I travel now, I have a 3.5-year-old little maniac who... I'm more concerned about his mental health, and it's pretty disrupting for him. So I don't know, just slowing down helps me. But now, you know, I'm traveling now and I'm by myself. I'm not with my family. And I got a facial today, and I got to say, it was glorious. It was really glorious.
With a child, like, do you start conversations around mental health, or how does that go? Or do you just let them do their thing, or how does that work? Because I know your husband also has his mental health platform. So I'm curious how that conversations go in the house.
The two of us are so focused on that, because I don't think either of us grew. I mean, it was a different time in when we were coming of age, you know, the 80s and 90s. Like, I didn't ever feel like or realize that my feelings weren't ever validated until I was in therapy later as an adult. So that is something that we're constantly trying to make sure. Maybe we go overboard sometimes. Well, who knows? We'll see when he's an adult what he says about us. But we are always really conscious of saying, like, it's okay that you feel this way. It's okay that you're sad. It's okay that you're angry. You can't take it out this way. You can take it out this way. If you want to go throw ice cubes at the wall, if you're mad, go do that. But, like, don't do that. So it is a constant conversation, and not so outright with him, because I don't know if that's appropriate for his age, but, like, if he would understand it. But he definitely knows that feelings are okay, and that it's okay to cry, and that it's okay to be upset.
That's really cool. I feel like in therapy, a lot of the reasons too, like, I continue to go to therapy is that so when I have kids, like, I can learn healthy tools. Because the way I talk to myself, the negative self-talk, I would never want to talk to another person like that or a child like that. So trying to learn, I think, is really important. And I know, again, you've been open about your mental health. You've been open about your own anxiety. So when you are traveling and when you do have a moment to yourself on the day-to-day, how are you, you know, checking in, taking care of your mental health?
I mean, I try to meditate, but that's easier said than done. Something that I do force myself to do weekly, if I can, is I'm really into pottery and ceramics. And if I really highly recommend it for anyone that doesn't mind getting messy, because it is a very messy arts and craft. Putting your hand on, like, I'm going to sound so cliche and Los Angeles right now, but like putting your hand on earth, your hands on earth, and like getting your hands all messy with clay, even if, and it, there's no means to an end for me with this as a hobby. Like, I love being creative, but I don't care if I mess up a piece. So that's something that really, really centers me. I mean, literally, I'm centering clay on a wheel. That really works for me. And I try to journal, but, you know, it's hard day in, day out to keep up, I'm sure. Do you guys have that experience too? It's like, it feels near to impossible to me sometimes to check in daily.
Yeah, I love to, like, how even in the show, work-life balance, there's no such thing. Sometimes you have good days, sometimes you have bad days. And I feel like that really resonated and helped me understand, because sometimes it's like, I got to have balance, or I have to check in, or I have to feel like everything's okay. And, you know, sometimes, again, like how you told yourself, like, sometimes you can cry and sometimes you can be upset and it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, sometimes you have to go through that to appreciate the times when you are feeling joy and centered and balanced. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, I still have to go through this in therapy, because I when I'm feeling negative emotions, I hate it. I get angry a lot. And so I started boxing, because arts and crafts, I'm a perfectionist, and if it's not done right, it stresses me out so badly. And that's not healthy. And so it's just not, like, my coping mechanism. However, pottery and clay, it's like Play-Doh for adults. So I do think it sounds fun. So I started boxing. And that was my thing with my therapist. We always, like, when I'm telling her, I'm like, I'm angry and I don't want to be. And she's like, you're allowed to just feel it. Like, it's okay to feel these things. And you can just sit in it and experience it. You don't have to dismiss it. And that's like, that doesn't feel correct, though. So how do we do this?
Yeah, we put so much pressure on ourselves. I think that was to our detriment, that we as women were kind of, the narrative was for a while that we could have it all, because we just inevitably ended up thinking that we had to be able to do everything, and it's just not possible, in my experience.
Emily, you mentioned balance, and I just came across a quote. Ironically, I was playing Spider-Man 2, the video game, the PS5, because that's also how I decompress, and there's a quote in it, and she says, balance is not a destination, it is a process. And I just had to sit there. I was like, this is a video game. Why are you giving me real lessons? This is weird. Remember that when you're thinking about your maps.
Mic drop. That is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. In the most unexpected place.
Yeah, truly. I mean, listen, it's Spider-Man's Aunt May. You know Aunt May and Uncle Ben are always going to have the best advice. So unexpected, yes and no. But Moses, I do want to ask you, you mentioned Carly Gugino very briefly. I want to mention her very prolongedly, because she's just a legend. She's incredible. She really, like, your characters have this mentor-mentee relationship on the show, which was so fun to watch. I love the dynamic between you two. I would love to know what, like, you as Melissa learned from Carla, because she's done so many things. She's a legend in their craft. So what did you learn from her, whether it be in acting, in life? What did you take from her?
I could wax on poetic about Carla Gugino for hours as well. I love to talk about her prolongedly. I can't really enumerate the amount of things that I learned from her, because she is so... Me and Natasha and Christina just call her a goddess all the time. She's so generous and kind and loving. And then on the flip side of that, like, working with her, she is insatiably curious. She always has a million questions that open, like, the kinds of conversations you want to have about character, about story, about what should be happening, about how it's all going to tell the story in the best way. And she does it with such composure and grace and command, like, this. Yeah. But she still, like, commands this presence and respect of everyone because of how she carries herself. Like, we all just got along so well, but having her as an example, was so invaluable. And I mean, she's stuck with me forever now because I'm just going to follow her, even if she doesn't want to be my friend.
That's like my relationship with Andy. I'm just like, I'm following you everywhere, Andy. Sorry about it.
I'm ready. Let's go. I love that.
But she's so soulful and unafraid to be herself, to the point where I said to her on our last day of filming, I was like, I feel like I've known you for much longer than we have. I feel like I've known you forever. I like to think that it was just our special connection, but I think a lot of people feel that way with her because of who she is. And she just walks through life in a really lovely, special, unique way.
There's something really like innately soothing about her presence. Cause I got to speak to her as well on the press day for Girls on the Bus. And there's just something like, I even entering a virtual room with her, I was like, hey, we're, this is good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. She does that. And she does that on set too, at work. It just creates like this safe, amazing environment to create in.
Well, in addition to Carla, I am very curious to know, but tell me about your mentors in real life. Do you have any?
I had two really formative adults in my childhood that are still a part of my life now, that they were the creators. They ran this children's dance and theater school in Colorado that I grew up at. I literally grew up, like when I wasn't in school, that's where I was. And we did like really, really cheesy children's theater, but my God, it was like my entire life. It was what I lived, ate and breathed. So like that was everything. So those two are like found family and still are so such big presence in my life. And then, you know, I'd say Greg Berlanti is also a mentor. I don't know if he realizes that, but I think of him that way. He set such a great example in the way that he runs his company and how he conducts himself as an artist and a producer. And he's so kind and just like a heart of gold. And that in his position, you don't often see that. So I feel really fortunate that I've been able to have the relationship that I have with him as well.
Speaking of, obviously the show does a great job of showing female relationships, navigating female relationships, but they also do a really good job of using the platform to tell audiences stories about the world. And I think that's a huge responsibility of Hollywood. And I think Greg does a great job of this as well. And one of the stories that is highlighted in this is your story with abortion and the topic of abortion. And I'm curious, can you talk about the importance of including that storyline and what you hope audiences take away from it?
Well, I think what was unique about the way we were able to tell the story was that we had a woman who was traveling across state lines in a post-Dobbs world where she didn't know what the laws were in any state that she was in. And she was trying to find and navigate her way to the correct form of care. And it's difficult. And I thought that was a really powerful way to weigh into telling the story that I've not really seen in a narrative setting before. And another reason that I was really proud of it, and that I think it this particular way of telling a story is really moving, is that we have a woman who knows that it is what is right for her. And there is never a doubt in her mind. Immediately she knows, this is what I want for myself. I don't have any shame about it. It is not the fact that I'm going to do it that is giving me agony. It's the fact that I don't feel like I'm in a place that supports my decision for my own body. And the more we tell those stories, I mean, we have to, because my God, like, we're not safe in this country with our rights as women. So we have to just keep telling those stories to hopefully be a part of it changing. I don't know what else to do, because sometimes you feel it's easy to feel really helpless about it.
It is. And what I liked about how that storyline was handled is, and I say this to Emily all the time, I can always tell when a show, when a piece of media that I'm watching has women at the helm, and sure was the case here. You can always tell when a woman is guiding that storyline, and it was great. And especially the fact that Kimberlyn is the one that takes her, the conservative of the most conservative of the bunch takes her. I saw some comment somewhere from like a guy about this show saying like, actually, like these four women of these different backgrounds, they would never get along like that. And I was like, my dude, we need to, you got to stop talking just for like a day maybe. But when you have these conversations, when you have that storyline, like when you're figuring out how you're going to film it, how you're going to play it out, what kind of conversations happen there behind the scenes? Because yes, obviously women support each other. Like, shocker, it's a real thing. But how did you guys craft that?
I mean, a lot of the conversations would quite honestly get derailed because we would all end up just like spewing vitriol because of how angry we were that we were even having to have the conversations at all. And mind you, a lot of the laws were changing while we were shooting the show. So we were kind of living it in real time, getting angrier and angrier, getting more passionate about it. And I agree with you. I think the fact that Kimberlyn, who is a conservative, she's on the other side of the aisle, is the one that drives Sadie. It's so poignant. And I don't think that it would be outlandish for that to happen. I don't. Because I think as a woman, when you see someone facing that situation, you can't help but be affected by it and see that someone is should be allowed to make their own decision for themselves, even if you disagree with it and you would never choose it for you, your own life.
One of the other things that I love in the show is watching the relationships and the relationships develop between parents and their children. Obviously, at one point, you're visiting your mom. Grace has a complicated relationship with her daughter. And so as a mother, I know you spoke about, you know, having a son now. What is it like acting out these dynamics now that you have a family of your own? And does it change anything, or does it change the stories you take on? Are you, you know, taking on stories that, like, you know, conversations about abortion because you're like, we need to do this for this next generation?
It changes everything. Absolutely. For me, it did. My entire perspective changed. All of my priorities changed. I am so much more mindful about anything that I want to put out into the world. And I'm not saying that it's like so set in stone. I still very much follow my gut. But yeah, it's got to be things that I feel really proud to put out there, that I'd want him to see, that I'd want to be a part of changing the world for the better for him. Even if it is more entertainment than it is issue driven, like it just is. It's so much more a part of my inner monologue now when I am approached with work. And by the way, work in general just changed. When I will do it and for how long and where it's going to be is so different now in a way that I never thought of it. You know, I hustled for so long, and now that I have him, I just am able to allow myself to be with him and present in the moment.
I was gonna say I don't envy three-year-olds often, but that's a lie. I really do envy three-year-olds more than I would like to admit, but I envy him in the sense of, like, both of his parents quite literally are superheroes. Like, you so when he grows up, if he eventually watches Supergirl, he can see you both mom and dad equal, and I love that. I do want to talk about Supergirl just very quickly, because again, who I am as a person, I listen, let's talk about, maybe not right now, I know we're adjusting how we're taking on things, but a future return to Supergirl. Multiverses exist. There are different versions of Supergirl. Let's talk about how Helen Slater played your mother on Supergirl, and she was super. So, like, what is it on the table? Is the return to Supergirl on the table for you, Melissa? Would you want to play her mother? Would you want to play her again in a multi? Just tell me everything. Tell me all the Supergirl.
I will never say never when it comes to Supergirl. I think that once you put on that cape and you've worn the glyph, you're a part of a club. It feels really special. It is such an iconic role. And I'm so grateful that I was one of the Kryptonians. So no, I would never say never. And if it was the right opportunity, or I would love to. I have one of the suits. Well, I don't have it on my person. Kevin Smith has it at his comic book shop in New Jersey right now. And
You're close.
Yeah, maybe I should go swipe it.
We'll see the headlines tomorrow. Break in.
Eventually, I'm assuming that I'll get it back from him. It's never not going to be cool that was something I got to do.
Wait, but future Halloweens, if you have your suit and if your husband can get his suit and you dress it, I'm just spitballing here. I'm just throwing it.
She's manifesting.
You say this, but then what if my son is like, Mom, Dad, stop.
Who cares? well, not cool. Say.
No, you know, he doesn't wait.
Andy's on speed dial. Andy's ready. If you need to sub it, Andy's like, I'm here. I'm ready.
I'll do what I got to do to make this happen. I get it. Kids are embarrassed by their parents. But his mom and dad are Supergirl and Lon-El. And I just, all right, Emily, can you get us back on track, please?
We get a little chaotic here sometimes. So I'm going to skirt us back. I know we were talking about issues that our country faces, and it is an election year. So can you talk about the importance of voting this year?
I don't think that we should ever have an election that we're not involved in ever again. And I'm saying this from myself, too, because I think I had a false sense of security because when I first started voting, it was two Obama terms. And I do think that I got a little complacent, even though I am always, I like to think of myself as an informed citizen and I am political and I do deeply care about it. But we have to be so involved now and we have to know who we're voting for and we have to vote in every single election. It is so important.
Tell me how you really feel though, Melissa. I'm really not getting how you truly feel about this one.
I don't think I really, as a young person, I don't think I realized how important even like the state legislation is. Like you just, it's work to learn about it and to keep yourself informed, but it's so important.
Yeah, I feel like even like the small elections is important. I feel like a lot of people I talk to as well are like, I don't know, so I'm just not going to vote. But it's like, vote, do something.
Yeah. Even if it's candidates that you're not particularly excited about, you've got to throw your weight because you do carry weight even as one person.
No, but you're totally right. It is work. And I will say, shout out to Chicago. That's where I'm at. They have like a whole, there's an organization, and for the life of me, I can't remember their name, of course. But they come up with a whole PDF every election, even for the small elections. And they say, okay, here are all of your like judges candidates and here, like, and it's the small and they give you a whole rundown, and it was so helpful for me to like really, because like these are names that I've never heard of in my life. I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're running for, but yeah, let's read up on what decisions you made. And it's been really helpful. So yes, get informed is very much a thing that we need to do. Funny enough, sadly enough, Melissa, that is our time with you, and thank you. So yeah, I know it was a fun
way.
Yeah,
that went by like just flies when you're having fun.
That makes me feel great. That makes us feel great. Sorry, Emily, I'm still in Supergirl brain. I really, really am, and I'm just excited. But Melissa, truly and honestly, thank you for joining us today, for being so generous with your time, for giving us Girls on the Bus. I want to know what you're going to do next. Get back on stage, write more books. What is next? I just want to know, and I know that you can't tell me is the thing.
Hopefully we'll be talking to you soon, and hopefully you'll be in your suit.
Oh my gosh. You know what? This is a promise that if we get to do this again, I'll wear the suit. If I'm able to get it from Kevin Smith.
I just watched you rethink that promise in real time, but you already committed to it. And I love that for us, because now we have the evidence, and we're just going to stop the recording right here. Melissa Benoist, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I want it on record. Melissa made us a lot of promises in that interview. She promised that she would wear the suit when we talk to her again someday. She promised, more importantly, that she would come to Chicago and sing karaoke with me, which is funny because like I mentioned that I haven't ever done karaoke. I've never like been invited to do karaoke. I do have a karaoke song, though, and it is Prince Ali from Aladdin. I crush that song. I'm not lying to you, and I think that you laughing means that you know that I'm not lying to you, but that is my karaoke song. Prince Ali from Aladdin, banger. I don't know if any places would actually have it, but just so we're clear, if you ever go to karaoke with me, that's what I'm going to sing first. Or me and my best friend have duetted at like when we're like hanging out and like at her bachelorette party. We did like karaoke just within the group, like at the Airbnb we were staying at. Her and I will duet I Just Can't Wait to Be King from Lion King, and I play Zazu. I'm very good at the Disney hits.
That's amazing. Does anyone have video footage of that? Because I think I need to see it.
No, I'm very certain of that.
I'm also now thinking, Andy, we need to figure out our duet karaoke song. So start thinking of options.
I'll think
of some. I need to think of a Disney karaoke song for me in the meantime as well.
I'm telling you, Disney songs are one of those things that, like, it unites people. If it's on the list, people probably know it. If it's from, like, one of the big ones, right? Like, some of the newer stuff, maybe not so. But I guarantee if you were to break out, like, Under the Sea at your next karaoke night, banger, whole room would be singing, 100% guaranteed. And if I'm wrong, then I will buy you a round of drinks. Try it.
Deal. Feel free to message us with your other karaoke suggestions, anyone listening, and we will be sure to perform them, hopefully with Melissa in Chicago. And
yes, I was going to say, when you say we, I'm going to let her take the reins on that because she is a true singer. And the thing is, like, I'm not lying. Guys, if you want, I said this to Becca Tobin. I told her the same thing about Holding Out for a Hero. You can find that clip on my TikTok at ReallyAndy. I promise you, I bring this up as often as I can. It is a winner.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this episode of Unwrapped. As Andy mentioned, you can check her out on TikTok and Instagram and watch those videos. Andy, I'll let you put in your handles really quick.
I was going to say, because on TikTok, I am at ReallyAndy. On Instagram, I'm at Really_Andy. There is an underscore between the words there.
And then you can follow me at Instagram and on TikTok at Emily Vogel, please. And also check us out at Rap Women on Instagram and at The Rap Women on Twitter. Thank you so much. Have a good one.